been a rough few weeks for humankind. Bombings in Turkey and Baghdad, shootings in Orlando, Louisiana, Dallas, and Minneapolis, and a presidential race that is setting new records in mean-spiritedness and disrespect on both sides of the aisle. Well, it's enough to discourage even the most stalwart believer. Because our Christian faith tells us that we can and that we must do better. But the obstacles to doing so seem almost insurmountable. And into this mess walks the Good Samaritan. Jesus told this story in response to a lawyer who was challenging him on his interpretation of Scripture and the law, a seemingly constant challenge in his ministry. And rather than comprehend the implications of the Scripture that he quoted, which was that God commanded that we love God and neighbor with the entirety of our being, the lawyer simply instead doubled down on his own self-righteousness and asked Jesus to qualify just who was his neighbor. Because in his world, the concept of neighbor was quite regulated, since as an educated Jewish man, he knew that the law defined how he had to treat Gentiles, Samaritans, women, and anyone else who didn't fit into the male Jewish mold. And since the law set boundaries that were clearly stated and inflexible, and even better, since they were part of the religious system, the lawyer was sure of his place in the world, and most likely feeling pretty smug when he pushed Jesus for a more complete answer. But, as he so often did, Jesus turned this guy's world upside down. Because the parable of the Good Samaritan isn't simply a story about a man who helped someone who was different from himself. For even though that is definitely a part of it, in its day, it had a much bigger impact than that. And this was so because of the characters involved. First, there was the victim, presumably a Jewish man, who was stripped, beaten, and left for dead. Then along came two different Jewish religious leaders, two people whom one would naturally assume would help the victim, but who instead purposely avoided him. Then, in the storytelling conventions of that day, listeners would have expected a third man to come along who would indeed help that victim. But they would have assumed that the one helping, and therefore the one acting correctly, would just be your regular Israelite, a common man, who would outshine the callousness of the religious leaders and be the right person. And then everyone could just go home and feel good about themselves. But no, instead, the hero of the story turned out to be a Samaritan, a reviled, unclean, disrespected, lowlife, foreign-born Samaritan, a member of a race hated by the Jewish people, who was considered to be their sworn enemy. And he was the one to help the Jewish victim. He was the hero of the story. This was a tremendous shock. And to fully appreciate that fact, we have to think of a similar situation and who we would least expect to turn out to be a hero. So let's ponder that. You're in a ditch. You are badly hurt. The bishop zips by in his car, barely taking a look. And then I run by, and I'm so busy, I kind of pretend I don't see. which means that the two people who are really a lot like you and who you would most expect to help, well, they blow you off. You're in trouble. Now, at this point, who would you least expect to help you? Who would you never expect to care for you tenderly and pay for your care? A Muslim? A homeless person? A skinhead? A Democrat? Hey, you know what? That's not even funny right now. It isn't. It truly isn't. A young black man. A Syrian refugee. A transgendered person. Who would it be? Because unconsciously or not, we all harbor prejudices. We all judge. We all presume to know things about whole groups of people. And we rely on unsupported facts and sweeping generalizations. We are dead wrong. So who would it be? Think about it. Because what Jesus did when he made the hero of his parable a despised Samaritan, what he did was completely change the comfortable worldview of his listeners. Because with that simple twist, he erased the accepted boundaries. He negated any prejudice. He removed all preconceived notions. And he challenged listeners to think way beyond their stereotypes in order to create a world where we help people simply because they are people. Not our people, and not those people, and not some people, but just people who need each other and who need to work together so that all people can live and thrive. Which makes this an upsetting and explosive story. And in telling it, Jesus probably lost a lot of followers that day. Because who could believe anything good about a Samaritan? Or a Muslim? Or a Republican? Or a transgendered person? Could you? Or are we too entrenched in our oversimplified conception of people with whom we disagree? Because if that's the case, then we have a lot of work to do. Because as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are required to do the hard work of seeing people, of seeing all people, whether we like them or not, as Jesus sees them. As imperfect, messy, and even annoying, but still loved by God. So, it's been a hard few weeks, full of shootings and hatred and explosions of all kinds, and full of people who are scared and they're hurt and they're left for dead along the road. And into this mess walks the Good Samaritan. Someone who was willing to see beyond the differences and tenderly care for the other. Someone who was the person least expected to be honorable and respectable, but who quietly did what needed to be done. So our challenge today is twofold. Yes, we do need to be like the Good Samaritan. Helping those who aren't like us, that is absolutely true. But even more importantly, in this time of fear and anger, and in an election year that has been particularly brutal and unkind, we need to see people, as someone's mother or brother or grandfather, as someone who loves and laughs and cries with their family and their friends. And as Christians, whenever we catch ourselves starting to make some simple, sweeping generalization about a whole group of people, let's just not. Instead, let's think. Let's take the time to learn about the other. Let's check our facts. Let's be respectful of our differences rather than disdainful. And let's assume that there are still things that we need to learn. And let's not post nasty stuff on Facebook. Instead, let's be kind. And let's pray a lot. Because in the face of hatred and fear, we best start sowing love and kindness. And behave in a way that invites others to know the love and grace and peace of Jesus Christ. We each need to be the goodness and the fairness and the peacefulness that we wish to see in this world. Because hate, fear, and anger are catching. And far too often, the reality of our world is heartbreaking. And none of that, none of it, is what we were created to be. So let us be sure to pray and to be kind and to love. Let us be sure to see people as God's beloved people, regardless of how different or how misguided we may think them to be. Because our faith demands that we love, and our world needs our love. So may we strive to be a good Samaritan, and may we strive to love the Samaritans, the Muslims, the homeless, the refugees, and all those who we mistakenly think to be others in our lives. Because really, they are just us. And if we don't soon understand that, then in reality, we are as much of the problem as anyone else. And surely that will break God's heart.